Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Shotgun snap. Love looks. Throws over the middle. Caught by Dobbs. Inside the five. Driving into the end zone. Touchdown, Packers. Romeo Dobbs made the catch and took a defender for the ride all the way to the end zone.
Ryan Radke on Westwood One. Massive win for the Packers last night. They go into Seattle. Their crowd, Packer fans, seem to take over the stadium. And the Seattle Seahawks had no answer for Josh Jacobs in the first half. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And Perloff, I can already tell, because everyone's high around here because Perloff's Eagles won yesterday, my Bills won yesterday, but you are scared of the Packers. You are legitimately frightened of meeting them in the postseason,
yeah.
Which if the postseason ended today, it would be Packers against the Tampa Bay Bucks as the 6-3 matchup. Winner of that would face the winner of Washington-Philadelphia.
So explain this to me, Maggie. Yeah. The Packers are currently 7th in Super Bowl odds. Number one, your Buffalo Bills. Right behind them, the Eagles, the Lions, Chiefs, Ravens, Vikings, and Packers are tied, sorry, for 6. They're tied at 14-1. How are the Packers have been there. They should have beaten San Francisco in the playoffs last year. They have a great quarterback, and now they have a great running back, and their defense is feisty. I think they should be moved higher. I think they're right there with the Lions on those injuries. Like, I almost think the Packers are scarier than the Lions right now.
Well, and Jair Alexander is going to be back at some point,
yeah.
Right? So you got another corner who's going to eventually be healthy. Well, it sounds like that's a bet you should make if you find some value.
Yeah, no, I will. Well, here's the thing. They're my Super Bowl pick, and they're your Super Bowl pick. I have them squaring off with Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals in the big game.
Not sure that one's going to happen.
No, I think the Bengals are still mathematically alive, so I'll take that. No, I think the Packers are being slept on a little bit. This NFC North is so good. They'll probably beat each other up. I mean, Vikings, I don't understand. I don't see that as a Super Bowl team. I just think the Packers have unfinished business from last year. I would actually handicap them over the Lions right now. Unless the Lions, all of a sudden, all these guys come back. Like, you cannot win a Super Bowl without a defense, Maggie.
Well, the only thing is the Lions beat the Packers twice this year. They won the season series, and they even beat them in Lambeau. And I've been somebody who's been so high on the Lions. I've defended Dan Campbell against you on this show when you've called him a liability. And after yesterday, I don't know if I can defend him anymore. I watching that game as closely as I was for my Buffalo Bills, and just an inexplicably silly decision to attempt an onside kick when it's 3 minutes into the fourth quarter and you are only down by 10. And yeah, they were having trouble. Both defenses were having trouble stopping each other. I understand that the Bills lost a lot of players on defense yesterday too, but you have to play the game. You are in the game. You're in the game. It's a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter in your own building. The trickery, especially in that way, was just silly because you have to declare the onside kick now, and the Bills knew exactly what was coming, so they were able to put their hands team out there. It was just a really boneheaded play by Campbell, and he's getting roasted today, I think rightly so.
I mean, that's the Dan Campbell experience, though. Your claim all year long was you got to take the good with the bad because this aggressiveness trickles down to the team, and that's how they play, sort of, you know what, to the wall. So I don't know if you can do this, Maggie. I don't think you're allowed.
No,
you either have to be all in or all out.
I've been on fourth downs and stuff, not on onside kick, which basically have a 0% chance of working anyway, and especially not now with these new rules.
Well, why don't you go back to last week? We're talking about the Packers. Deep in his own territory, he went for a fourth and basically a two, fourth and two, and didn't make it. I thought that got the Packers back into the game. Again, everything being equal, I thought the Lions didn't need to play with trickery. But I don't know if it's equal anymore. I'm really worried. We'll see what the reports are today on Carlton Davis, cornerback, and Aleem McNeil. If those guys are hurt, I mean, come on, who is there? This is like, at a certain point, injuries are too much.
Can we hear from Dan Campbell, please, Manny? Blaming himself, not for the onside kick, though, but because his team came out flat and the Bills came out on fire.
Credit that team. You know, they were ready to go. We knew they would be. We knew they'd have a sense of urgency coming off of that tough loss out there on the West Coast. And, you know, we just couldn't quite match it. So, you know, they did a good job.
Listen, is the sky falling for Detroit? You lose to a good team, you know, what are you going to do, right? Like, that's not a lot of shame in that. It's just the way that it goes down, right? Losing more guys on the defense, yep. Having Dan Campbell make this decision, this backfire, a decision that backfired on him. That's what I can't live with more than just losing. Like, I'll be honest with you. Had the Bills lost that game, I would have come in and been like, you know what, guys? If they see them in the Super Bowl or there's a rematch, I don't think this game would actually matter much. And I'm tempted to give the Lions that same out, except I can't because of the amount of injuries on defense, yeah. And Dan Campbell's wild card coaching stuff.
Also, the performance on defense was just terrible. They just could not tackle. It was kind of pathetic at the beginning because they were down 28-14. Like, they really, I'd almost credit them for a furious comeback. They should not have been in that game.
Absolutely not. 855-212-4227. Was that the worst coaching decision of the day, though? Tough. Or just decision overall. There were a lot of really boneheaded moves. Let's get to all of them with the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, EJ's going to give us a game. We'll tell you everything that happened in 60 seconds or less, including all the dumb mistakes that were made by players and coaches.
All right, let's begin in Cleveland, where the Chiefs won 21-7, but Patrick Mahomes left this game a little bit early with an ankle injury.
This is massive. Yeah. This is an inflection point of the season. If Patrick Mahomes' injury is in any way bad, you need to shut him down right now and let Carson Wentz take over. You don't need the number one seed. You need a healthy Mahomes. Perloff, that's what I would be telling Andy Reid today.
I've been down this road before. There's just no way I'm counting out Patrick Mahomes in any way. The thing is, Mahomes was not good when he was out there. There was a little bit of weather. Again, there's so many problems with his targets. I can't. Kelsey's inconsistent. Xavier Worthy, he'll giveth and taketh. Like, the wind will knock him down on one run, and then he'll run for a touchdown on the next. Jameis Winston, he was remarkably bad yesterday. It was incredible. Because he had three picks and no touchdowns, but there were four or five other possible picks that just were not hauled in.
He was benched for DTR, who also came in and threw a pick.
One of the sloppiest games you'll ever see. The Bengals beat the Titans 37-27 in Tennessee. Will Levis benched after three INTs. Both teams combined for 10 turnovers.
A terrible game, terribly coached, completely undisciplined by Cincinnati. But there's a neat little side topic. Who's the best receiver in the NFL right now? Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson? It feels like Chase is after. I mean, he didn't put up the biggest numbers, but he was dominant in his own way. He's right there as the most explosive receiver in the NFL right now, and it's just a waste.
And it's going to cost the Bengals because Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson have a very healthy rivalry despite going to the same college. Yeah. And you can tell that Chase wants to top Justin Jefferson's contract. That's going to be a major priority. Yeah.
Well, can I say one more thing? Why did the Titans not start Mason Rudolph all year this year? It was he's a different player than Will Levis. He's an NFL quarterback.
They were seeing what they had in Levis. Like, do you need your glasses adjusted? Because Will Levis is a nightmare.
All right, let's go to New Orleans, where it was a late stop by the Washington Commanders on a two-point conversion that sealed the win for Washington. Some weird clock management, not from the coaches, but from the refs in this game. Commanders beat the Saints 20-19.
Yeah, remember when Dan Campbell was the frontrunner for Coach of the Year, and we thought that Cliff Kingsbury was going to be getting all these head coaching opportunities? Listen, they hung on to win 20-19. But I was actually a little bit more impressed with the Saints and how they came back in this game. Jake Haener gets benched. They bring in Spencer Rattler. And I thought it was the right decision when the score is 20-19. There's no time on the clock. You attempt a two-point conversion. It failed. But I like the thought process there. You're the home team. Go for the win. A loss is not going to derail the season. The season's over. So I didn't mind that aggressive style.
Yeah, I watched a lot of this game. Jaden Daniels is awesome. Yeah. He was perfect. I could watch this 100 times. I have no idea how the Saints made this a game because Jaden Daniels totally controlled the game. They thought they had the game won and just completely stopped trying in the second half and almost cost them. Now they're 9-5 and they're going to make the wild card. They're going to hold off that second NFC West team. So good for the Commanders.
5 TDs for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, 35-14 win over the Giants. Teams are now 0-11 when Tim Boyle throws a pass for them. Giants, you're the next victim.
Nobody throws to the back line of the end zone like Lamar Jackson. It happens so many times. He is gorgeous with that one pass. It's got air underneath it, and Rashad Bateman or somebody's always underneath it. And how about Mark Andrews is now the all-time leading Ravens touchdown guy?
Yep.
I guess that makes sense. I did hear during the game they reset the entire franchise. They don't count the Cleveland Browns that came over, and they don't count the old Baltimore Colts. So I guess I don't even know who he broke. Do you guys know off the top of your head?
I thought it was Jamal Lewis.
Is it?
Yeah.
So it was all-time touchdowns, not even receiving touchdowns.
I don't even think it was receiving touchdowns. I thought they said Jamal Lewis.
But, I got to tell you, Lamar Jackson, who has done everything in this NFL, blew me away. I couldn't believe how good he was, and I'm still saying that about him.
Yeah, if Josh Allen wasn't playing as well as he was playing, he might have another MVP. The problem is I'm still worried about the Ravens defense, not against the Giants, but I still am. Yeah, you know, they killed my Bills earlier in the season, and Derrick Henry hasn't had a touchdown in the last 3 games. Maybe they're saving him a little bit.
I don't wear women's perfume.
Yeah. This is going to be, by the way, statistically, Lamar Jackson way ahead of any other passing season he's had. It's not even close. He's 20% up on his best passing season, so he's figured that out.
It was a complete game for the Dallas Cowboys, who beat the Panthers on the road here, 30-14. Rico Dowdle, 149 yards rushing, 3 touchdown passes for Cooper Rush.
And the defense looked great. I mean, again, against the Carolina Panthers, you can't really tell, I guess, but they looked better than what the Eagles were able to do against the Panthers just a week ago. And that game was in Philadelphia. So, you know, listen, maybe we did write off the Dallas Cowboys too soon. Not for this year. This year's done. But just the fact that they do have a lot of talent. The Mike McCarthy case to come back, I think, is getting strong. With Zimmer, by the way, it's getting stronger and stronger.
Oof. The only thing that makes me a little bit sad is that DeMarvion Overshawn got hurt badly. Can you imagine if you had Micah Parsons playing like he did yesterday on one side and Overshawn coming up to another? Two defensive player of the year kind of guys. I think it's an interesting. That's why I wanted Belichick to go there. Can you imagine with all those pieces on defense, if they get everybody back healthy? It's an interesting sort of base to work off of.
We also would get into the Micah Parsons responding to a report that said it was really Stephen Jones. It wasn't even really a report that don't necessarily count out any kind of trade for Parsons in the offseason.
That's part of, like, it's 2019. Devontae Adams turns back the clock for 198 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns as the Jets beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville 32-25.
Can I just say the Jets game-winning drive with about 2 minutes left, that was one of the most unlikely. Like, Aaron Rodgers threw the ball off a back foot with about an inch to spare on the sideline. It was at 3rd and long. It was pretty crazy that they even got down the field in that situation. I think this is your worst nightmare, EJ. The Jets are going to see enough at Aaron Rodgers to bring him back. His numbers are getting better. You can't avoid the numbers.
I think that Aaron Rodgers and Adams are probably going to team up somewhere else, and the Jets are going to have to start over. And by the way, not exactly stellar clock management at the end of the game by the Jets, where you score, but you left over a minute with 2 timeouts. Yeah, it was a backup quarterback. And he ends up getting picked off by Sauce Gardner. But still, like, that's not the way you play this thing. You have the ball at the goal line. Either score with 2 seconds left or kick a field goal. Score a touchdown with 2 seconds left or kick a field goal with 2 seconds left. Like, how are we not doing this?
It's not a fantasy league. You can't just send Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams somewhere next year together. Like, there's all sorts of cap stuff going on. Do you realize Aaron Rodgers has 23 touchdowns and 8 picks on the year? Like, that's like all-time Jets stats. I'm telling you, there's plenty here to build on, or at least, or get stuck with, as the case may be.
All right, let's go to Houston, where the Texans beat the Dolphins 20-12. It was a Derek Stingley pick late in the game that sealed it. It was Tua's third of the day.
Yeah, three interceptions for Tua. That third one to Hill is just like Stingley just ripped it out of his hands.
Great play.
Also, the Texans executing a fake punt in the third quarter when this was really still a game. You know, we were talking about trick plays and skewering Dan Campbell for his onside kick, but this one is one that worked, and the fake punt kept a drive alive for the Texans and ended up being a really smart momentum-gathering moment.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of the Texans. They should have put that game away a lot earlier. And you know who's, like, very inconsistent? Joe Mixon. Like, it feels like he's had a bunch of games where he's only getting about 2 yards per carry. He was great early in the season. Now it feels like that Texans offense just can't do enough to make him a real contender.
Well, how about Nico Collins? Only had 4 catches, but 2 of them touchdowns.
Yeah, he is good. But, again, I don't know. They just seem anemic. Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator, was supposed to be a head coaching candidate. This is not going to get him a job.
All right, let's get to the 4 o'clock window here. Let's start with the Broncos, who beat the Colts 31-13 in a weird game that included a Nick Benito fumble recovery / pick six, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, he took a pass from A.D. Mitchell to the house on a cross-field lateral.
Yeah, Nick Benito's second touchdown. Remember, he had that big touchdown, I think, in a primetime game. He's awesome. I think the Colts win this game if Jonathan Taylor does not fumble at the 1-yard line. They had all the momentum. They were making Bo Nix look like such a rookie. Just everything changed from that moment on. The entire, everything that was going right for Indy went wrong, and Denver got their offense settled, and Bo Nix looked much better. But until that point, he was getting tortured by the Colts.
Absolutely. And I've watched that play 50 times, just like everyone else. I still can't see Jonathan Taylor. Did he actually drop the ball? I kind of hate that this is what we're using replay for. Every pixelation, every blade of grass, it's got to be for stuff that's egregious. So I kind of feel bad for Taylor in that sense. The A.D. Mitchell double pass play was just silly.
That was comical.
I mean, he readjusted the ball like 6 times in his hand. Like, he basically pump faked 4 times, essentially, so that everyone knew exactly what the play was, and it got picked off.
The Bills and Lions combined for over 1,000 yards in a Bills win. Josh Allen dominant in this one in Detroit.
Josh Allen, MVP. Bills are the Super Bowl favorites. This feels like a fever dream for me as a Bills fan. And I was so impressed for a couple reasons. One, they were able to put the loss to the Rams behind them. They started fast, 3 touchdowns in the first 3 drives. And two, the defense, which has been just wrecked by injuries, was able to start off the game hot, Perloff, and came up with just enough to finish this game out. And thank you, Dan Campbell, for the boneheaded decision to kick an onside kick early in the fourth quarter that set the Bills up for an easy TD.
So about 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Andrew Bogus texts the group and says, all right, Maggie, is this a relaxing Bills win? I immediately texted back. I'm like, this lead is nowhere big enough for Maggie to relax. Turned out, you're right in this case to be stressed out. That game got way more interesting. That was a lot of fun.
Great game. Yep.
Is that what y'all wanted to see? That's what Jalen Hurts said after the Eagles beat the Steelers 27-13. Jalen Hurts, 290 passing yards, 3 total touchdowns, including 1 to his mortal enemy, A.J. Brown.
His mortal enemy. Did you see the handshake with Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown?
Yep.
Awkward.
Awkward. Like, they got to rehearse it. I thought about 30% of practice time was celebrating celebrations. practicing celebrations.
It's not TikTok, like, for a long.
They looked terrible in that moment. But it was interesting. The Steelers, just all they cared about was Saquon Barkley. They said, if you stop Saquon Barkley, you can stop the Eagles. I think Hurts proved that's not the case, although he was having this issue with his hand that does worry me a little bit. And the tush pushes are very narrowly making it these days. So if the ball's in Jalen Hurts' game, I don't know if that's going to really win the Super Bowl for the Eagles.
Oh, my gosh. You to win the Super Bowl.
If the game is... Wait, what did I say? I just screwed up 3 expressions in one thing. If the ball is in Jalen Hurts' hands with the Super Bowl on the line, I'm still nervous.
Yeah, you should be, but this is as good as they've played. I mean, this feels like maybe the Eagles are starting to peak, and if they've put all the personal stuff behind them, that's awesome. On the flip side for Pittsburgh, oof. Could be tough if TJ Watt has an injury, and you just get the sense that if they're down 2 scores, it's good night.
Oh, my God. No chance. Although Russell made a couple plays, couple plays. He wasn't terrible yesterday, but they never got the ball back. They only had two drives in the entire second half. Two drives.
I know. It felt like the Eagles had the ball the entire game.
They did.
I think only people in Massachusetts and Arizona saw this one, but the Cardinals did beat the Patriots yesterday, 30-17. James Conner, 110 yards rushing and two TDs.
I got nothing, Meg.
I don't have anything either.
Drake May.
Lost.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, let's move on. Bucks Chargers. Bucks win 40-17. Tell me if you heard this before. Future Hall of Famer Mike Evans had a great game.
I know, this is one of EJ's pet peeves. We all know he's a future Hall of Famer. We don't have to say it every single time. This was impressive to me because I know the Chargers are dealing with Herbert, definitely way more injured than he's letting on.
Yeah.
The offense is just, they need another year together for sure. But did you have a Bucks blowout on your bingo card? I did not have a blowout. And it wasn't a blowout till like midway through the third quarter, but still, that was impressive. And now the Bucks have won four in a row.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers were winning for a big chunk of this game.
Now 17-10 for a long time.
The Chargers can't run the ball anymore. That was the plan, right? Since J.K. Dobbins got hurt, what I was surprised was the Bucks are really, that Bucky Irving, Rashad White combo is really, really good. I know Mayfield's getting a lot of the headlines, but they can be a really effective running team. They ran for 223 yards yesterday against what was supposed to be pretty good defense.
I feel like we shortchanged the Arizona Cardinals there. They are not out of it. They're 7-7. They're solidly in the hunt.
Well, it's not that. It's really the Cardinals. If the Cardinals played a real team, we would definitely talk about it. It's the Patriots. There's just nothing to think about there. I mean, they're just waiting for next year.
Yeah. I mean, rookie quarterback on the road. That's never a good time.
I think there should be a rule where if you're a West Coast team, you travel to East Coast and you win by double digits, your game doesn't get mentioned.
Like, so that was in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, that was in Arizona.
Oh, why are they wearing white jerseys? Oh, my bad.
No, but it's like these are betting rules even that I do. Like, I'll never bet on a rookie quarterback on the road. Like, what are you really expecting? And actually, I should look closer to it. I will eventually get around to this game. I don't even know if Drake May, like, how did he do? But it's such a tough ask for a rookie on the road.
He had one of those weird games where it seemed like the numbers aren't that bad, but the Patriots offense was just non-threatening the entire game. Like, you can complete passes and still not move the ball, which is basically what happened.
I thought at one point Kyler Murray was going to have to leave the game like on a stretcher. He got trucked by, like, crunched by two Patriots defenders.
Oh, and his helmet kind of flipped back. Tune came in the game right for like one play. Yeah, that was that. Again, Kyler Murray. I mean, we could have a whole side debate. Like, should they build around him?
Like, is this working?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so, to be honest.
I
mean, it's working right now, but I don't know if it's working. Like, is he your quarterback for the next 7 years?
I don't think he's the problem.
No,
their defense
no.
is not good enough.
Yeah, but is he the solution? Like, he's not good enough. He's kind of one of those guys like a Brock Purdy who needs a lot around him.
855-212-4227. All right, there you go. That was your NFL in 60, and we have a Monday night doubleheader tonight. Hold on to your horses. You've got Chicago and Minnesota, and then you've got Atlanta and the Raiders. Perloff, a game I know you've had circled on your calendar for weeks now.
The one team who drafted Michael Penix and should be playing him, and the one team that should have drafted Michael Penix.
Coming up, we debut a new segment called Dumb and Dumber. Who had the dumbest plays of the weekend? We'll tell you next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Breaking down everything from NFL Week 15. So we debuted a segment, Dumb and Dumber.
This is a keeper, by the way.
Yeah. Do you have any more dumb or perhaps dumbers on the agenda, Maggie? Or did you get through all your dumb and dumb?
No, I think I've got a couple more dumb and dumbers. I mean, I think that we cannot understate here, like, what's going on with the Colts. Like, we're talking about all the teams and coaching vacancies and who could be up. And I'm not saying that Shane Steichen deserves to be fired. I'm not here to be a coach killer, but Anthony Richardson is not good. And granted, he hasn't had enough playing time, but Jonathan Taylor dropping the ball before the end, right as he's going into the end zone, and the 80 Mitchell double pass that gets picked off because they basically, you know, sent a Raven to they telegraphed it. That was a Game of Thrones reference. They telegraphed that pass. It's just, it's unfocused and dumb. And when you have a lead on the road like that for a game that's really important, by the way, that was a very important game for someone to sneak into the playoffs, and you would have had the head-to-head for either the 6 or the 7 seed, And now it looks like Indianapolis is going to get squeezed out.
Well, I think it's really hard to evaluate Shane Steichen because the quarterback's so inaccurate. Again,
but another, that should be him. Like that's why he's there, is to make Anthony Richardson better. He's the offensive guy.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe the quarterback's just not cut out for this, and he's so inexperienced too. Anthony Richardson yesterday, 17 for 38, 172 yards, two INTs. No wonder you're trying a trick play. Like, the guy cannot complete a pass. And yesterday was funny. He looked at it's so you watch him, you're like, oh, he's pretty good. Like, it looks good, but it's just a lot of near misses. So I'm not going to kill Shane Steichen there. I think they kind of like him in Indianapolis. I think they're very curious. This is a tryout the rest of the season. Do we keep Anthony Richardson or do we bring in a veteran?
Can we, if we did a game, which quarterback do you trust the least? Maybe Will Levis, probably the air quotes winner.
Jameis Winston is not. Is he in this thing? Well, you trust him to throw multiple picks in a game.
Anthony Richardson's got to be pretty close to the top of the list. He's definitely in the top five, most likely top three. Quarterback you trust the least. I think for me it would go Levis, Richardson, probably Jameis.
Oh, you can't trust Jameis.
Jameis, I mean, he's probably number one for me.
But oh my God, EJ. I mean, Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, like, there's no shot. If you needed a game-winning touchdown, like, at least I actually have seen Jameis Winston do that before, along with game-sealing pick sixes. You wouldn't have a prayer with Levis or with Richardson. You don't have a prayer.
But to a certain degree, though, doesn't the fact that Jameis, the fact that he has this ability and is so erratic, make him in some ways almost more untrustworthy? Because I feel like Jameis Winston's the kind of guy where I could be up 24 points, and he may throw three straight pick sixes to make it a game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if Anthony Richardson or Will Levis have a 24-point lead, then the game is over. They probably just hand the ball off 20 times. He may fumble into the end zone and give them touchdowns. That's how crazy Jameis is.
Okay, can I do one more Dumb and Dumber before we go to updates?
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber. Missing a 24-yard field goal. I don't know if it's dumb or incompetent, but Tyler Bass, Bills kicker.
It's the worst.
This is it was the shortest miss of the year. Like, how did that happen? I'm positive I could hit a 24-yard field goal.
Well, what made it even worse is that then the guy hits a 50-yarder, and I'm so glad he hit the 50-yarder because it put him up three scores at one point, but you're going to put me in a straitjacket in a mental institution if you miss a 24-yarder and then make a 50-yarder.
I was worried about you on the 24-yarder. I'm like, this is it. And then the Lions had a chance to score then. They missed a field goal, too. But that's when the game turned. You tweeted at halftime, why does it feel like the Bills are losing, even though they're winning?
Did feel like
it was that dumb 24-yard miss. This is a year of field goal misses, and my theory is still holding true. When Justin Tucker started missing, the Ravens kicker, everyone lost their confidence.
Yeah, I this is what I'd like to think as far as like my Bills are concerned, because Dan Campbell also had an all-time Dumb and Dumber attempting the onside kick with still 12 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, but we've talked about that quite a bit today. This is what I'd like to think, and tell me if I'm coping. Because Tyler Bass already missed a bad field goal in the playoffs last year, which would have tied the game with the Chiefs, I think that that's the bad one. Like, he got it out of the way. Because, EJ, I saw you tweeted, like, can they be a serious Super Bowl contender if their kicker's this bad? And it's a fair question. But did he already get his Scott Norwood moment out of his system?
I feel like he's kind of like a Mike Vanderjagt, where, like, he may have kicked some awesome kicks in the past, but, like, you know when the playoffs come, he's hitting that joint into row 15. You know what's happening. I would, if it's fourth and anything less than seven, I'm going for it in the big spot from the Bills. When I saw that kick, I was like, this is why Maggie needs that group chat on Tyler Bass. I understood it.
I have a whole side chat.
I totally understood it when I saw that kick. I was like, okay, I get it now. This guy is wild.
That kick might end up in Hamburg.
Yeah. It's a Buffalo suburb.
But wait, there's only, who's the dependable kicker? The Steelers have one, and
I actually thought the Lions had one until that Bates missed a terrible one yesterday.
But he's
Chris Boswell is the only guy. And Brandon Aubrey.
Well, how's Butker doing? Because
he missed one yesterday.
He missed one yesterday. And I know he was doing some crazy gesticulation. I'm like, you're a kicker, and he's trying to call a play like a quarterback. But he's been pretty good in the playoffs. So I don't know. It just feels like there's nobody you can count on. The Eagles, I don't know what's going to happen with Jake Elliott.
How about Brady yesterday calling him David Akers?
Yeah, it was crazy. Retired in 2010, by the way.
I was like, uh-oh. Hold on, Tom. Season's almost over. And then the Super Bowl.
I didn't think Brady, again, Brady wasn't terrible yesterday. The bar is not high for me. Not terrible.
He lost his voice again, though.
That's actually I don't mind that. It makes it seem like he's trying.
It's so awful to listen to, though. It's scratchy.
Oh, I like the deeper, scratchier voice than the high-pitched beginning of the season healthy voice. You know, it's just they have trouble, and him and Burkhardt's chemistry is still not quite there. You know, he's trying to pretend like he's buddy, call him KB all the time. Nah. Just admit you're Tom Brady. Just start acting like Tom Brady. You're like, well, I was on a private jet with whoever. He tries to be like one of the guys, and he's not there yet. But he's not terrible, Maggie. Will you at least, can anyone here agree with me that he's better than he was?
You know, I'll back
yes.
He
yes.
is better. But, you know, you just alerted me to something. I think they all do that on that crew. KB, EA for Aaron Andrews. They all are nicknaming.
Quite uncreative.
CT for Carissa Thompson. They do all this.
Yeah,
we can call each other their names. Yeah.
How you doing, EJ?
I know I'm a guy who's also
AB.
Named.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have MG, AB, AP.
Well, Tony Romo, like, I'll give you one thing. Tony Romo is purely authentic at this point. Like, he's just giving us, he's himself on it.
What a day.
Like, you might not like him, but at least, like, I think Tom Brady could learn a lesson from Romo. Just relax and just pretend no one's listening.
It's only 45 million
dance
people
like
that
no
are
one's
watching.
Watching Tony Romo.
Wait, did anyone check the calendar to make sure that they're not playing a game on Martin Luther King Day so that Tony Romo can't do this again?
Oh, my God.
To learn more, visit realizethedream.org.
What a day. Martin Luther King Jr. deserves to have a day named after him.
He was alive once.
Thanks.
What a
thanks,
day.
Thanks, Tony.
It's my favorite. I can't breathe. Folks, that's headlines.
They're sponsored by PXG Golf. For high-quality, high-performance golf clubs, apparel that delivers styling, comfort, premium golf balls, award-winning gloves, and more, make it a PXG holiday for the golfer in your life. Find the PXG store near you at PXG.com. I like a tight ass. We are told this morning that the Niners are preparing to suspend Devondre Campbell for their final three regular season games for refusing to play Thursday against the Rams. Reports over the weekend. So the team was working with the league to reach the max allowed punishment for Campbell. The Niners are not releasing him because they don't want Campbell to end up with a playoff team. The Packers never trailed in Seattle on Sunday Night Football, but the Seahawks stayed within reach into the fourth quarter.
Takes the snap. He's back to pass. Love has time. Bouncing in the pocket. Lofts it deep down the middle of the field for the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown, Green Bay. Romeo Doubs.
Reaching down for the knockout punch, Ryan Radke called it on Westwood One. Green Bay gaining ground on the Lions, with the Vikings still to play tonight against the Bears with this 30-13 victory. The loss drops the Seahawks out of playoff position down to eighth in the conference. And Geno Smith is headed for further testing today after a third-quarter exit with a knee injury. Post-game x-rays were negative for Patrick Mahomes, but he'll get more scans today on the possible high ankle sprain he suffered in a 21-7 Chiefs win in Cleveland. The good news from yesterday is the Texans clinching the AFC South and the Steelers clinching a playoff spot. And Bills-Lions was a lot of things. The highest-scoring game of the season, over 1,000 yards of offense, and a scoregami. 48-42 is the 1,090th unique final score in NFL history. Again tonight, Bears, Vikings, Falcons, Raiders. Atlanta cannot let Tampa Bay get any farther away atop the NFC South. Kirk Cousins might want to play better. 0 TDs, 8 picks over his last 4 games.
It's not you completely blow up your process, but at the same time you say, hey, clearly there's something here in my decision-making or my fundamentals or the way I'm seeing the field or the way I'm playing the game that needs to be improved or tweaked. So let's also look at doing that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
The Falcons
do want to blow up your whole process, Kirk.
Or go to Michael Penix. The Falcons a game and a half behind the Bucs for first in the division. Tampa Bay is on a four-game win streak. For now, LeBron is back from his foot issue. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists in 34 minutes last night after missing two games.
I felt pretty good. You know, it's very rare throughout a course of a season where you can take advantage of a schedule, and I was able to do that over the past week.
Anthony Davis scoring 40 as the Lakers snapped the Grizzlies' four-game win streak, 116-110. The Celtics dropped the Wizards, 112-98. And since they were not playing the Hawks, the Knicks won last night, 191 in Orlando. Karl Anthony Towns, 22 points and 22 rebounds. MG, AP, back to you.
I don't like AB.
Watching you guys at the corner of my eye physically react to that line made my morning.
You're annoying, bro.
Thank you. Great to see you, Manny.
Wait, I didn't know the in-season tournament they're playing in Orlando now?
No. This is the consolation bracket.
I was a joke to point out the Knicks didn't even make the finals of this stupid thing.
Yeah. I think the Sixers have less wins than the Jets.
Wait, didn't Joel Embiid break his eye?
Yeah, and the other dude's having surgery.
How can you break an eye?
Didn't he break his face?
Embiid couldn't break anything. But yes, he broke his. But I believe it was a sinus fracture.
Oh, I'm sorry. That sinus sounds fracture. Painful.
Well, you said he broke his eye. That sounds very bad.
Well,
it's like Terminator stuff. Miles Garrett.
Yeah, half of his face melted off, and then he was still hunting down Sarah Connor.
Oh, like,
weird.
Yeah. That was the worst Halloween costume I've ever seen, Miles Garrett as the Terminator. It just didn't look right in any way. He put like $60,000 into it and spent 9 hours in the makeup chair before an actual Sunday game just for that visual on Halloween, and bomb.
This is coming from Hollywood Pro, Halloween Pro.
The actual worst was, remember when Aaron Rodgers was teasing his John Wick costume for about a year, and it turned out to be just a B-minus John Wick costume? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
It was
about?
Just his long, like, greasy hair.
Yeah, he just put on a leather jacket. He's like, I'm John Wick. Okay.
That don't mix it up. Okay. Aaron Rodgers overselling something. Never heard that one before.
Overselling and under-delivering.
Remember when you made up a 1970s soccer player to show off your junk in short shorts?
Well, listen, it's easy for me because I only have one goal, to test the limits of HR with Andrew Bogus.
Yeah, I'm the
arrived.
Guy.
We passed that three exits ago.
Turn to the left.
We also get Aaron Rodgers' documentary debuting tomorrow. It's here already, guys.
Oh my God.
Enigma.
I didn't hear anyone wanted to see it. I didn't hear that.
Don't worry about it.
I had a body part anyone wanted to see.
The pants keep getting tighter, shorter, and whiter.
All right, MG. I can't stop doing it now.
Our folksy, hey, we all know each other. I'm sure Tom Brady's calling Kevin Burkhardt all the time. I'm sure they're cutting it up. 855-212-4227. I actually love Kevin Burkhardt. He's been great to me, but we're not buying it.
By the way, I'm sorry, I know we're out of time. Tom Brady had a line yesterday. He goes, Cam Hayward, the Steelers defense, he reminds me of Richard Seymour. And Richard Seymour reminded me of Mel Gibson in Braveheart. When he was out there, I just knew everything was going to be okay. And I was like, this is the most complicated analogy. Like, didn't Mel Gibson die in Braveheart? And like Tom Brady, you were Mel Gibson, not Richard Seymour. I was like, the AI glitched on Tom Brady's script. I don't know what the heck he's talking about.
We should have known when he called Jake Elliott David Akers. Yeah. That just the day was off the rails.
Yeah, he reminds me of Richard Seymour. When Richard Seymour was out there, I felt like he was Mel Gibson in Braveheart. Everything was going to be okay. Like, I don't think everything went okay in Braveheart, by the way.
TB.
Like, they lost, like, all the key stuff at the end, but whatever.
All right, EA, down to you. All right, we've got a lot to do, including, this was fun. I gotta love Micah Parsons responding to a report about his future in Dallas, and we've got picks for tonight's game.
You suck, Brady.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The game wasn't that exciting, but the drama is certainly going to be pretty spicy. And of course, that's the Dallas Cowboys, who had a walkover game against the Carolina Panthers. However, there's more to the story. Let's hit a Cowboy quickie. Okay, so there's a lot in the air right now about Micah Parsons' future with the Cowboys. Now, Stephen Jones has, I guess, put out a denial that they would trade Micah Parsons, but there was a report that, you know, maybe they could be fielding offers or that they wouldn't close the door on a potential Micah Parsons trade this offseason. And Parsons, to his credit, said this.
Nah, I understand how that business side goes. Listen, no hard feelings in this business, you know, whether I'm here or anywhere else. You know, obviously I stayed how I wanted to be here. But, you know, at the end of the day, I understand the business side. And, you know, I put in a lot of work. I play hard, too. So, obviously, if sides can't, you know, agree to those type of things, that happens like that. But, you know, I'm just happy to be here. And I'm going to just keep playing hard while I'm here. And if I'm here for next 5-6 years, I'm going to keep playing hard.
Kind of interesting. He really sounds like he doesn't care. If he wants to be somewhere, be somewhere else.
It's almost like he wants to go back to his hometown team.
Stop.
Bring Micah Parsons home. I mean, listen, he has said bizarrely nice things about his main rival, the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think the Cowboys can let him go. I mean, first of all, he was unbelievable yesterday. He was running after Bryce Young, and I actually found myself yelling at the TV, run, Bryce, he's going to get you. Run. He's mad.
Faster.
He is so fast, and he's so effective. I think it's actually good for the NFL to have Micah Parsons be Micah Parsons and be a star. Because he's so entertaining, and he went from one of the top three defenders in the league to irrelevant this year. I think it's good, and I'd like to, you know, the Cowboys are the hated rival of my team, but I'd like to see them be good, and I'd like to see him be a star. He's good for the NFL. I mean, he's out all over the place, but he's good for the NFL.
Yes, don't forget, he's the executive director of
He's a BR Gridiron. BR Gridiron executive editor.
Sorry. President of BR Gridiron. That's your Cowboy quickie.
Do you think he's retires a Cowboy? You think, or he'll be there for a long time?
No, but I know what I think about what's going to happen in the immediate. This is going to be a lot of song and dance and a lot of will they, won't they, and ultimately they will. Meaning sign him, and it will be for the most money ever by a pass rusher. It's like, can we just fast forward this stuff with the Cowboys? They don't have the stones to trade him. They don't have the stones not to pay him. Everyone gets over on the Cowboys when it comes to negotiations. When's the last time they won a negotiation? They didn't get nearly enough for Cooper. They paid Dak Prescott at the top of the market. They played CeeDee Lamb at the top of the market. They overpaid Ezekiel Elliott before that. They pay everyone at the top of the market. Like, let's just get to the point where they're giving Micah Parsons whatever Myles Garrett has plus a dollar or whoever's the highest right now.
I mean, listen, he 100% deserves it. CeeDee Lamb totally deserved his contract, too. So
that's what I'm saying. Let's just get it over with.
Yeah, I mean, he should be the highest paid player. I think there's no chance they let him walk, because if you look at those three players, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons, the number one guy I'm building around is Micah Parsons. Like, he should have been first in line.
Definitely.
I know timing-wise it didn't work out that way, but he's the key.
But it's disingenuous that they're going to do this song and dance the whole offseason, because we all know how this is going to end. And it's going to end with Micah Parsons signing with the Cowboys.
Well, listen, I'm not sure Dak was always the same thing. Were they always going to sign Dak? You don't think they changed their mind midseason when they saw Trevor Lawrence get all that money and realized the market was insane? I think they really wanted to go into this year with Dak Prescott possibly not being their future quarterback. Do you think that's possible?
They could have easily done that, and they didn't.
They saw Tua getting $50 million and Trevor Lawrence, and they're like, oh, crap. I think they felt at the end of the day their hands were tied. And it turns out they probably should have said, no, we're not going to build around Dak Prescott because he's a bit older and he always gets hurt.
So quickly, tonight's Monday night doubleheader. You got the Bears at the Vikings. I got this at 6.5, and it's now pushed to 7. And, did I have 7.5? And it's down to 7. No, I had 6.5. And then Falcons at the Raiders, and that currently stands as the Falcons are a 6-point favorite on the road.
Big game for the Falcons. Like, they cannot screw this up. They have an easy schedule, and the Bucs have some hard games. They could somehow end up in the playoffs.
Falcons, you're right. I mean, you need a better game from Cousins. And if he's not going to play well, you got to yank him for Penix.
Well, the season's basically over if he doesn't play well here. Then you got to look at Penix. But do you want to go into the offseason with that hanging over your head if you're the Falcons?
This is the life they chose the moment they took Michael Penix in the draft, no? Like, did they not make their own bed here?
Oh, yeah, that decision.
Oh, that whole thing. And I still like the Vikings big in this game.
It's really interesting. Yeah, it feels like the, sorry for the interim bump, never really came for Chicago. That feels like a franchise that's totally lost. I'm surprised that's not a touchdown, to be honest, or over a touchdown game. Then again, like, not everybody trusts the Vikings either. They're the strangest two-loss team we've seen. Like, they could be the number one seed in 15-2, and I don't think they're going to be the favorite in the conference by a long stretch.
You know what? It's crazy in the NFC North because you have the Packers winning yesterday, yep, and then obviously you have the Lions losing yesterday, and yep, this thing could come down to Week 18. It's going to be a lot of fun. EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, to the Weedos and the coffee drinkers. You know who you are. We appreciate you. See you tomorrow.